paranormal happenings. Bring it down. It just may work.
Your computer still might work better than Nick's.
That is true.
And it works.
It does it really?
Yes.
It's lucky you
See
fixed
that,
it.
Yeah, that threat. That threat.
Thou art a prophet.
It's the power of Nuchez. All right, guys. That's good.
Thanks, Luggy.
All right, well, though, for those that are wondering why there's no beginning of the show.
This is it. Welcome to Whispers, folks.
If go back in the archives. How was the last time this even happened? It's been... I'm going to go home now.
All right, if you just tuned in, you just missed like 10 minutes of stuff
Nothing.
That was only privileged to the to the faithful live listeners.
You have to pay for the gold account.
But But seriously, go see that. If you have a chance to go see Paramore live, I think they're on tour with Reliant K and a band called Fun right now. Reliant K is always always fun. Reliant K is good. Paramore just has an awesome show. You guys got to go see it.
When did you do this little trek?
The show was last night. I got back right before the show today. I stayed out there.
Oh.
Some friends of mine from the firehouse.
That's nice.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right, let's clean up some business. What's going on with our pen trip?
All right, pen trip, June 30th. If you haven't got a ticket yet, get to the website, buy your ticket, whispersradio.com. Nick made all kinds of pretty little buttons and links and stuff to
and
get there.
Herb Street for sure is coming now.
So Herb Street has been confirmed?
Yes. So, actually, it reminds me I have to talk to you about through the show, because he's wanting to bring a camera crew too, so.
Oh,
I mean, it's all kinds of crazy stuff.
So, listen, you're going to be a part of a lot of stuff. It is an inconvenience that it is a Wednesday. We know. But we got more and more and more stuff that's just piling on top and piling on top. We got the demonologist, Dwayne Claude, coming in, giving a whole presentation. He's going to be doing the investigation with us.
Have you heard from Sherry?
Not since we talked to her last.
Okay. And we haven't confirmed the clown yet either.
No clown.
I should be there.
No clown.
Jordan will be there. Never mind.
Yeah.
Herb Street doing the Herb Street method. Mm-hmm. You know, it's his way of doing the paranormal. We've had him on the show. He's going to be there investigating. Apparently, he's bringing a camera crew for some event too. So that's a plus.
Wow.
Get your.
He could be on TV.
Get on there with Lola.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Sherry Brake, who's also on the show a lot, she's going to be joining us for an investigation. We still got, we want to get t-shirts getting made. Turn your mute on, brother.
No.
You don't want
to
mess
anything
with
else.
That thing. I know. Let it go.
Don't want to touch another button.
Well, we right, do Nikki. Have Chris with us.
Nick, you want to introduce Chris for us?
Yes, I can. Give me more. Okay.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Lola.
Chris, we just had you on the show. We were talking about Project Serpo. Now you got some new information concerning release 20 or 34.
That's correct.
Right. Let's talk about. Yeah. I said 34, right?
Oh, did you? I didn't.
I corrected myself. So, Chris, let's talk about what this is about.
Well, first I want to say, why didn't you invite me with you to go see Paramore here?
Oh. Do you live in Columbus?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! If I knew, I would have had a you with me.
Sitting here doing nothing.
Aww.
Oh, it was such an awesome show.
See what you've done.
And let me tell you what, I am in love with Hayley Williams. That girl is quite the
looker.
Quite the front person of a band.
Mm. Understood.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
Jordan wants as little competition as possible. He was upset all the other people showed up to it.
Yeah, I told my buddy Dave, he plays in a band called Waverly. We were talking, and I was like, listen, I'm going to spend the rest of the day trying to get that woman to marry me. I was unsuccessful.
Yeah, since you're back on Whispers Radio tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wouldn't have showed up.
Yeah, I wouldn't have came. See you guys.
I would be talking to Nick and Lola, and that'd be it.
That's it.
He wouldn't have even called to say why he wasn't here. It would have just been a no-show.
You guys would have never heard from me again.
We probably would have thought it was an abduction.
There we go.
I would have reported it.
Now, let's talk about this release 34. Apparently, you got some, I guess it's breaking news. Because you talked about this at a conference, and you haven't really talked about it since, right?
That's correct. Outside of the conference, you guys really get the exclusive here as far as going out on the radio or the internet about it. It's some material that Victor Martinez, who runs his very influential email list out there in California, had gone back and contacted the original anonymous for the Serpo releases, knowing that I was going out to do this conference in New Jersey, and thought it would be nice if there would be some new information or updates or just something like that that would help with the presentation. And lo and behold, we got more than that. We got a few comments back from him, but a second source popped up through it. And it's actually an individual that at this point in time, Victor is referring to as anonymous number two,
mm-hmm.
Who is somebody who actually used to work with the anonymous number one.
Okay.
They worked together at the DIA.
Now, for those that aren't, you know, I guess acronym handicap, what exactly is DIA?
Yeah, stop me from using acronyms.
Yeah, I'm horrible at it, too. I'm starting in the IT field, and you walk into people talking about it, and it's nothing but alphabet soup.
It's crazy. You know, so. You sit here and you assume everybody else knows.
Exactly, yeah.
Probably not the case. The DIA is the Defense Intelligence Agency.
Yeah, nowhere near what I thought it was going to be.
And it's something, well, I know where your mind is at, so. I won't even go there. The DIA is a bit of an umbrella group,
uh-huh.
Encompassing. It works out of the DOD. I'll explain that.
Okay.
Basically, it's Department of Defense.
Okay.
And the DIA is a bit of an umbrella group that is for some of the other alphabet agencies working in coordination with them. They had things that they were working on that were international as well as national, military and non-military also, and in many ways had been looked upon as having direct involvement in many of these cases that we're talking about here, working with ETs, UFOs, getting a hold of the big cases, also work closely with the AFOSI, the Air Force Office of Special Investigations, highlighted by Rick Doty's tenure there. But anyway, they worked with several of these different agencies along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So request anonymous number two here came up with a story on a case that he had worked on that was of he thought would be of interest, and it has sparked a tremendous amount of response regarding it. And it has to do with an abduction and an alien / ET working in the U.S. government.
Really?
Well, according to Anonymous, it was.
So, like, as the president, because there's a couple I was wondering about.
There would be a few that you'd look at and you'd wonder. You know.
Now, where exactly, what part of the government would this alien working in?
Surely they didn't put him in, like, the Department of Transportation or anything, right?
No, you'd think, you know, natural, let's put somebody who knows something about advanced propulsion systems, perhaps, in transportation. No. unfortunately, he was a low-level government employee. Did not have...
He was a tax man.
Yeah, he wasn't quite a tax man. He wasn't quite that hated, no. But he did not have a top secret clearance or anything like that, so not as though he was in a position that he was going to be able to obtain information of top secret nature. Did not come across, apparently, as being a spy, but there was a question that we received about that. That came in from it at this point in time. Also, just to let you know, since this was just released to us here about 10 days or so ago.
Oh, wow.
We're still following up on the information, and there's been quite a few questions, of course, that have come up and wondering about.
So it was just released that we had an extraterrestrial spy?
Yes, even though this goes back to 1980.
Okay, wow. I was going to say, this started to seem like from the story in the Carter... At the end of the Carter era, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So now, I guess going back to the beginning of the story, and how exactly did this come about? I mean, did it all of a sudden, you know, start noticing that the guy was kind of blinking weird? Or, I mean, was there someone else that... Well, I mean, it...
Okay.
I mean, it's, you know...
No,
it would act him weird or something. Is, you know, that would be my first guess.
He was able to, as it is described here, shapeshift himself into a very normal-looking human.
So we have a shape-shifting alien spy in our government.
That's correct.
Well, I would think that they would have to be shapeshifters. Honestly, I mean, that only makes sense. Otherwise, how are they going to blend in?
Well, you do have the various reports of human-looking. You know, you have the Nordics and so forth. But even those all have and seem to have from reports that people have given where they've met them up close. Features that are very distinctive from things like their eye color, their irises being a violet, or skin being just milky white or almost translucent, or hair being so blonde that, you know, just colors and textures and some characteristics
that aren't natural.
You'd look at and you go, something's odd about that guy.
How do I want to say this? How did you, or how was it decided that this was an extraterrestrial working in the government and not just a goofy-looking fella?
Well, in fact, he wasn't goofy-looking.
Well, then, okay. Well, how did they catch him then?
Well, let me tell you, Jordan.
I'm confused, Chris.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning. How about that?
All righty.
All right, what happened was in 1977, a female working in the U.S. intelligence area was abducted.
Oh.
And as an ET abduction, she thought that the individual that abducted her, she called a male non-human, took her up, showed her something that looked like a small triangular device, and she was able to see three-dimensional holographic images in looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
This continued for 3 years. And during the 3 years, there was another male non-human who came in and was with her during one of these abductions. And she definitely could tell that this was not a human. In fact, she ended up referring to him as a creature. What ended up happening was she ended up relaying this to a coworker of hers. The coworker who took her to be a good, well-respected person. She was young, 23 years old, single, but she was trusted and well-respected. This coworker of hers ended up contacting a security official in the office, who then contacted other intelligence officials, and they sat down with her and spent hours and hours over several days going through her background, performing surveillance on her, giving her polygraph exams. And at the end of it, they decided she's telling a true story. So what they ended up doing was they put together an operation. And it's called TS, Tango Sierra. I'm not sure if the TS just plain old means top secret, and we don't have the actual name of what the operation was, or if it was indeed actually called Tango Sierra. My own personal is, I doubt if it was called Tango Sierra.
Yeah, just kind of lost in translation there, you know.
Well, those are the exact military phonetic words that are used for the letters T and S.
Yeah.
So when it comes back as Operation Tango Sierra, you kind of go, it could have been Operation, you know, anything.
Yeah.
But this is where our anonymous number two person comes into play.
Okay. Now, when you say the anonymous people or request anonymous, for those of you or for our listeners out there that aren't sure what that means, can you clarify what, you know?
Sure. Basically, it's because of the positions that these guys are in, and they're retired in 70s and 80s. They are requesting that their names be kept anonymous at this point in time, as the information that they're talking about here would still be regarded to be top secret, and they would still actually be subject, even though they are retired, it's still subject to non-disclosure. And if they were to disclose these things, it's potentially punishable to them. Up to and including prison time, but they could also lose their pensions, their health insurance, and so forth.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, I just want, because people are thinking Request Anonymous. What is?
Yes. You know. Yes. No, good question. Thank you for bringing that up. So that's why these individuals have remained anonymous, and why we refer to them as anonymous number one, which is the person who originally gave Victor Martinez the information regarding Serpo,
mm-hmm.
and who ended up introducing Victor to anonymous number two here. Actually, it came in, I should correct that, it came in somewhat separately, and he then found out that the two of them did know each other and were, in fact, work colleagues from a boss-worker type relationship.
Okay. Question I had, thank you. Oh. Question I had, they had to have me muted.
As they should.
Yeah. Agreed.
I'm coughing like crazy today. Yeah. I don't know why. But the first alien that was abducting the woman, you say it was a non-human. Where exactly are, how are they associated? You know, or were they both from the same you know, Delta Pavanis star system, or you know, are they separate aliens species?
My take on reading through it, and you're trying to read through it several times here, and it's definitely, and those are good questions, because those are some of the questions that we're passing back and trying to get answers on. It comes across as being they are two different species.
Okay.
Because she refers to the person who is the shape-shifting government employee as being a creature, and referring to him as being almost insect-like.
Uh-huh.
Insect-like?
Insect-like.
Huh. So she's brought into this room and interrogated by an insect-like creature.
And more, and this was the one time that it appears it was the only time that this was really more of an examination.
Oh.
To which she did not give consent.
Okay. Now, this, so she goes and she, well, what does she do after this? After she's, you know, I guess she reports it to somebody.
Well, she talks to it. She brings this up to a friend of hers, because now she's really upset. And apparently she really hadn't thought too much of it for the first few years that this was going on, as the exchanges that she was having with the first ET who was abducting her were actually pleasant. They talked. He would show her things that had happened in history. They, you know, he was respectful towards her and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then this last time that she was abducted, when she brought this up to the people she worked with, was the examination by the shape-shifting government employee ET. And it was not a pleasant experience for her. And I think that's the point in time that she decided that she better tell somebody, told a friend of hers, and the friend is the one who then ended up passing the information on up the ranks through security.
Okay, so now at that point, I'm guessing this is when, you know, she's like you said before, you know, she went through an extensive, you know, background check, make sure she, of course, you know, of course, she's not crazy, that she's reliable, and that is when, you know, they decide to go out and find this person, correct?
Correct.
Or, I guess, person.
Right.
Use that. So, how exactly is this orchestrated? I mean, how do you find? I mean, because if she saw him as a creature, and this was a part where, you know, when I'm reading through this, I'm thinking, well, she must have saw him, you know, as he was before, and then when he shapeshifted out. You know, to be able to give some kind of description. How exactly do you find a shapeshifter? Because I'm, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, if I'm a shapeshifter, you're not going to find me. I'm just going to, you know, blend in, go somewhere else.
No, when Nick thinks shapeshifter, he's thinking Twilight. And...
Well, no, I mean,
actually, I'm thinking V.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I mean, you know, if I'm going to give it to any, you know, I mean, either thinking X-Files, I think they had shapeshifters in that.
Sure.
Or, you know, V, where you really should be able to do
something.
To hide yourself.
Yeah.
Well, he was out in public, though. He's using, you know, the capabilities in this particular case to be, you know, John Doe, whoever
sure.
he was, working for the government, doing whatever he was doing in that particular role. And unbeknownst to him, she found out who he was. And again, you know, it's another question that we have. I don't know if she saw him both ways. as the human-looking entity, and then saw him as he really was.
The insect.
Right. I don't know if number one told her who he was on Earth or how that all came about, but apparently she knew basically right away who this was. Now, the other thought was, and again, this would require clarification from going back, is did she just give them, know that he was worked in the government, knew what he looked like, you know, did the old, sketch artist type thing, and then they matched his face and showed her pictures, and then that's how they figured it out? I really don't know.
Yeah. You know, it could be, too, that there perhaps were things that only the creature or whatever you want to call it would have known from conversation when she saw him as he really appears, you know, to referring back to something she said to him maybe in passing when he was representing himself as a human. You know, there maybe there was some connection that way so that she would know that this is the same person, because that's the only person that could have known a certain fact.
Right, right. And it's and that may be information that we're never really going to find out, because the anonymous number two individual that we spoke with here, his involvement was in this Operation TS or Tango Sierra, which was the operation that was put together to observe and ultimately capture the ET.
Now, see, you went with the assumption that TS was like top secret or something. With me, I would think that T would have corresponded to the number of incidents or knowings already, so that they've already run through all the way up to T, and T was the next letter to name the next file after.
Which is another possibility. I mean,
that's scary.
Well, there always have been various reports and rumors that were out there, you know, even less substantiated than this was, that there had been people working in the government in positions. I know people myself who I didn't get firsthand, but I did get secondhand information where these are people that I trusted, and they know people that they trusted who said they saw and worked with ETs who were here working, not in a shapeshift way, but were actually here working with us with the government.
And this is a little different, though, where we had no idea that was happening.
We had no idea.
And all of a sudden, it's like, wait a second, you know, this person's, you know, they're not supposed to be here. I mean, it kind of, you know, not to go back into another, you know, movie, but, you know, kind of a Man in Black kind of thing where, you know, they, you know, it's unauthorized. It's, you know, there's no, you know, agreement between the two that they should be out there.
Exactly.
And in fact, you know, my mind, you know, switched back to, David Icke, you know, in his discussion about, you know, reptilians, you know, being, I mean, he's talking about the entire, almost seems like anybody that's in power at this point, it's a reptile, you know, reptilian race that's from another planet.
Right.
Which, you know, I've had the hardest time ever believing that, but, you know, then if you get into the kind of the shape-shifting, whether or not, it, you know, I'm still on the fence on this one, just because there are, you know, like you said, there's a lot of questions, but, you know, it is kind of one of those things that makes you wonder.
Here's a question I have.
Sure.
Now, the shape-shifting aliens, where do they come from? Because, you know, you hear about the reptilians, you hear about the greys, you know, you hear about the Zeta Reticulans, I think that's one of them we've heard of, you know, but what?
Serpo.
Is that Serpo,
yeah,
too?
Serpo.
See,
right.
I heard about it from you.
There you go.
But where do these shapeshifters come from?
Well, the information that they obtained from him, and once they did capture him, he went through several months of interrogation, and he did offer up information. He indicated that they're from the star Delta Pavonis, which is approximately 20 light years from here.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few non-binary stars that are near us. Actually, most of the star systems that are in our galactic neighborhood happen to be binaries. Very few, like us and Delta Pavonis, are singular stars. It's a yellow-orange star that is just slightly bigger but slightly less in luminescence than our own sun. and he indicated that they are from the fourth planet around Delta Pavanis.
Now, something mean you and my that I talked to you about yesterday, and I've been reading kind of through the email off of Victor's list, where you know I'd found out about this first, you know, as well, is that this is a star that is about to go red giant, which would mean that it's and from my reading, because I, like I told you yesterday, I'm not an astronomer, you know, by trade or anything
far
like that.
Far from it.
But you know, I enjoy, you know, astronomy and stuff. So I know kind of what a red giant is, but I had to go back and kind of.
What is it?
Well, it's going
to
end up.
Ready to explode?
It's ready to expand, and I think it's supposed to get cooler. But now if it expands, and I'm looking on, you know, the Tome of Wisdom on the internet, Wikipedia, but they have a picture here of, you know, the sun, which, you know, our sun, and next to what it would be as a red giant. And, I mean, you're talking about a huge, huge, you know, red and a little tiny yellow, which is the sun now. So, mm-hmm. to me, that means that it would be a star that's going to expand and possibly destroy
everything in its path.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, from what I can read here, you know, it's not happened yet.
Correct.
So now that, you know, and first there was a lot of people saying, well, that's, you know, he can't be coming from there because they're about to, you know, have their world destroyed, or they're throwing any number of different, you know, that can't be possible because of that.
Right.
And now my thinking, and more I've thought about it, is, well, that would kind of make sense to me. What if, you know, why would they be here looking for a, you know, planet that's possibly kind of like theirs, and the sun's got a couple more years left on it than theirs, and, you know, I'm starting to think, you know, of course, I'm looking at the big bad thing that could be happening.
Like
is,
Superman, though, their planet was ready to explode, so they shipped off as many people as they
yeah.
could.
So, I mean, you know, could there be a possibility that he's here doing some surveillance on possibly a place to go?
That's certainly one of the things that I was thinking about. And as you said, you know, Nick, when you and I were talking about this yesterday, you know, both of us had said the same thing, that we need to
yeah.
do a little bit more research on this. And I think this red giant concept might be a little bit of a red herring that was thrown out there, because when you go back and you look at the actual information about Delta Pavanis, it's not a red giant. It's
yeah.
the next phase it would go into.
Yeah, it's a subgiant. It's a spectral type G84, which for anybody out there that knows what that means.
Oh.
So it's a long ways, and the process of going red giant is a 5 million year process. So it's not as though it's imminent. You know, however, if they did know it was going, and obviously if they're capable of interstellar travel as they were, I mean, some of the information that they got from him is the they have makes the travel time from there to here 18 months long.
Mm-hmm.
He indicated that they've been here for about 100 years, give or take, exploring.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, just as you said, you know, you start to think about, well, why would you do something like this? You know, kind of take somewhat of a what appears to be a low-level government job. If there were you, or if it was just you who was here doing that, you know, yes, you want to, if you're going to explore, you want to be able to do so in a way that's going to be non-threatening, especially if you look like a giant praying mantis or something. Shape-shifting to be able to come in and mask yourself so that you're able to learn about it. But if you're learning about it from that angle, you'd almost think about, okay, they're really trying to learn about how we govern ourselves and how we work. And if they're doing that, as you said, well, you know, kind of running down that path, then are they preparing themselves for the inevitability of Delta Pavanis turning from a yellow-orange subgiant up to a red giant? And well before it ever happens, they want to be sure that they can find a planet or multiple planets where they could eventually offload their population.
Now, if they've been around for 100 years, you know, who's to say that that's just not his, or that's might just be his job, you know? He's been around for a while. There's probably lots of them then, right?
I would think it's not the only one.
You know,
if
they're...
you hear these rumors about others being out there.
Because I don't think if, okay, if he's been here for 100 years, look at what's gone on with, you know, our not just our country, but, you know, the world in the last 100 years. Everything's different. Everything's changed. So he's probably not too curious about what our government structure is, you know, because it changes every year. You know, he if he's working in the government, he probably just got a job in the government. You know, he's there's probably people out there baking cakes and teaching your children at school, you know. Right? Am I wrong in thinking that? Or?
Well, no. I mean, I'm thinking right along that same path, thinking that he's not the only one that he is doing it. And it's interesting, too, when you look at the response that was conducted here with the 7602nd Squadron out of Fort Belvoir
mm-hmm.
in Maryland. To me, it had all the appearances of this is something they had done before. You know, they managed to organize this cross-agency team in very short order, which, if you know anything about government agencies, whether it's intelligence or just the normal out-front agencies and mm-hmm. so forth, putting together a cross-agency team that quickly just isn't that easy.
Yeah.
It would almost have to be something that was already in place, or at least the procedures that they would follow to go ahead and do this.
Yeah, there had to be some kind of policy in place already.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, through you know, reading through this, there were other races that were mentioned also that had been coming to Earth, and I'm kind of looking through. I lost where I was at, but I know one of them was the Evens that was mentioned several times. Now, is that the typical the gray alien race? You know,
exactly.
That a lot of people.
Exactly.
Now, the other one was the Trantaloids. I wanted to find the quote here because it was kind of describes them, you know, as extremely mean, the ugliest, meanest SOBs and most dangerous.
Correct.
Now, what do you know about those?
Just about what you know. It's
okay.
Really what came to us.
They're
from.
The ugliest, meanest.
They're ugly and mean. That's right. You know, everything from, you know, somewhat friendly, those who cooperate and work with you know, human beings, and then there's those who really don't.
Yeah.
You know, plenty of reports that have come from throughout the years, for instance, reptilians, that kind of, for the most part, don't seem to really give two hoots about us one way or the other.
Yeah, they don't want to play with their food.
They want to, yeah, exactly.
Now, I got to ask.
That makes me feel so special.
Sorry. I got to ask, like, okay, what happened when this guy got caught?
When he got caught, they imprisoned him.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And I don't know if he shifted back to his original or if he left himself looking like it. But an order did come out, an executive order did come out that he was to be released eventually. But this was after they had had him for several months and they interrogated him as best they could, I'm sure. Looking for answers to some of the questions that you guys were bringing up, such as who else is here? How long have you been here? Do you know of anybody else? Can you point out anybody else to us? What are you really doing? What information have you gathered? You know, all of those questions that you'd think would come up, I'm sure came up in those interrogations that they did with him for several months. But finally, he was released. And when he was released, he disappeared.
Hmm. So you don't know if he just shifted into somebody else or left?
Right. Yeah, don't know if their abilities are to shift into another looking, you know, another human shape, or if he took off, really don't know.
Yeah, and that's the question, I, you know, because they, you know, the Anonymous assumed that he left and went back to his planet, and, you know, you would think that they would maybe, you know, kind of escort him, I guess, to where he would leave and make sure that he was gone, but there wasn't really indication of that.
No, there isn't.
Now, so I guess, you know, the reason this has kind of caused a stir, I mean, at least to me, is that, you know, there's that chance that he wasn't the, you know, most likely he's not the only one. I mean, you know, if you would assume.
I would think that.
Yeah, so, I mean, my question ends up being, you know, why was he doing it? I mean, was it he was bored and decided to come to Earth, or was it something more substantial? And you would have to assume that it would be something more substantial. There's no indication, you know, in the release that this was the first time, or, you know, If this, you know, there is kind of that indication that they already had done this before, sort of. But, you know, there's a lot of unanswered questions.
Well, he said 100 years.
Well, yeah, but he's the one that told them that. Correct? The alien told them that, correct?
Correct. That okay. He had been here about 100 years.
Okay, so,
or
I mean...
Or their race had been.
Yeah. So this is kind of almost separate from Serpo. This is a brand new kind of a branch off of, you know, away from Serpo. You know, you got the, you know, the Serpo aliens here, which I'm guessing are the Ebens. I just want to make sure I keep them straight.
That's correct.
And then you have the Septiloids, which are the, you know, the second that we know of that has been on Earth that are, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they can shapeshift and they could be your neighbor.
And it's, I think, yes, it's different from Serpo, where Serpo is an agreed-upon exchange program, and here you have a an almost an infiltration program on their part.
So, what kind of questions are you at this point going to? What are you asking Anonymous? You know, what information do you want to know? Because you've been dealing with this a lot more than we have. A lot more than a lot of people have.
And
what
is it? You still have to have questions.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, just as you said, you know, you keep reading through it, and every time I read through it, additional questions come up, or just as you guys have gone through it,
mm-hmm.
just those very, very same questions. More, and a lot of it just has to do with more details that came up. You know, and unfortunately, things that happened before and after the actual operation TS Tango Sierra are outside of what he really knew. His involvement was working within it, so he might have gotten bits and pieces from before and bits and pieces after, but only during it. So if they interrogated him for several months, I'd really like to know, well, what else did they come up with besides the fact that he came from Delta Pavanis, and they've been here for 100 years, and I'm thinking there's a lot more information.
Did he probably said a lot more in the last month.
Yeah. I wonder if he can waterboard them.
There you go. With water, yeah, would waterboarding work, or you know, are they like a little water bug that wouldn't bother them?
Well, see, I don't think they'd want to torture the aliens. I mean,
well, they did determine that when they captured him, there did not appear, and I don't know how they figured this out, although, of course, you do have people in the government who work on telepathy and remote viewing and so forth, but they determined that he did not have any telepathic powers, nor did he have any special superpowers.
Well, aside from shapeshifting.
Outside of shapeshifting.
Yeah. Yeah, that was something that caught me. I was like, wait a second.
That's
he
kinda,
shapeshifts.
Chris, not all of us can do that.
Okay. I made an assumption there. Just because I can.
Look, if Jordan could shapeshift, he would not be on the show today. He would be with the girl from Paramore. So
exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't look the way I look now.
but Anonymous also, that was something that was kind of, and you brought it reminded me. I was thinking when I read it, it was like he said, well, he had no superpowers. I'm thinking, wait a second, he said he can shapeshift. You know,
right.
So an Anonymous assumes
that,
you know,
they all can.
Well, it was kind of a weird wording. You know, it was, you'd already just said he shapeshifted, now you're saying he had no, you know, powers. So
well,
what, you know, it was kind of an interesting.
Well, looking at, you know, who Anonymous was and where he was
sure.
working in the you know, almost in a police type function, or an investigative type function within this organization, where for them the powers are going to be, is he a danger? You know,
yeah.
Does, you know, can he melt me with his eyes?
Yeah,
you
I got
gotcha. Can he lift 2,000 pounds? Can, you know, that type of thing.
Sure.
And if he can't do that, and they can, you know, keep him in an enclosed room or a cage or a jail or whatever, and he can't really get out, he can shape his, or shift his shape all he wants, and they've still got him.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I would shapeshift into a saw.
There you go.
I'm sorry. You know, why don't they think of that kind of thing?
Right?
I don't think it works.
Now, do you
way.
Believe it? Are you 100% sold on this yet, or are you still waiting for more information?
I'm still waiting for more information. I would have to say that the source does appear to be, because of there is corroboration on it, some corroboration on it already, and some of the commentary that has come back from the email list, you know, remembering on Victor's email list, he does have people that he knows in the intelligence and military. The comments have actually been positive in terms of others have indicated that they had heard about it. Others had indicated more like they had understood that there was something like that, but had been further removed, and it kind of explained for them some different things that they had heard. So he got more positive response on this, really, than anything from going all the way back to the beginning of the Serpo releases when he received tons of corroborative email.
Well, now, Chris, we are out of time. You want to give out your websites real quick so people can know how to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Open Minds Forum, all one word, forum.com, and serpo.org.
And we've also got those linked up, including I linked up to Serpo release 34. It looks like they're up to 34E, which has some other stuff to look at and stuff. But the main one is 34. There's a link straight to that off of our webpage. So for those wanting to read it, go through it. And now if they have any questions, they can go to Open Minds. You have a Serpo board there and for people to go and talk about it. That's correct?
Exactly. Right, they can join up on the forum to discuss it, or if they have questions, they can always send email. You can always get me at chris@openmindsforum.com.
Okay. Lola has
Chris,
a question.
If you go under the assumption that it is true that we did the sharing thing, that we sent people there and they sent people here, why would anybody think it's a big leap then that they would have our government, maybe even, and this is you know how I love conspiracy theories, but would have used these people or aliens or whatever you want to call them in other functions if we're going to do an exchange program? Why would they not want to integrate them into, if it's a low-level government position, at least it's a government position and you could keep your eye on them. I don't know why this, or is this an entirely different group of beings than what we have had the exchange program with?
Right. This is an entirely different group.
Oh, okay.
This is not a group, and remember, there are, if you follow all of the reports, I think if you include everything that anybody's ever talked about, there's somewhere over 100 species. But there's others who are in the know that talk about there being somewhere in the 10 to 20 range of different species that have been and visited here and interacted with us, that they're going to have different agendas.
Yeah.
And, some of them are going to be in here working with us, helping us with the advances in technology and medicine and so forth, and others that are somewhat more standoffish and just exploring us, or reptilians who may potentially be looking at us as cattle.
And who's to say that it wasn't an entirely different exchange program? This is just coming out.
It's very, I'm right. I mean, this was kept secret for 30 years.
Wow. This, every time we talk to you, it just like boggles my mind. I have to go home and really stop and think all this, because I get so much information from you, and then I've got to like process it. It just is so. And I just watched E.T. Encounters. And I mean that. Who's to say that's not so far fetched?
Not really. I mean, you look at Close Encounters and you keep Serpo in mind, and you throw in a lot of Hollywood effects and, storyline type stuff, but look at the heart of it and compare it to the Serpo story.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking of when I was watching that the other day.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. Well, we are out of time. Thanks for answering that.
I'm glad
that,
I make you think like that.
Somebody's got to. Chris Iverson, we want to thank you very much for joining us again today. Like I said, all your websites are on whispersradio.com. You can get all the links that we've talked about today. They're all on the site. is it chris@openmindsforum.com?
For an email, sure.
For email. We got to go. Thank you very much, Chris. And
thanks, guys.
We're going to be talking again.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
It is now time for CNN News. We'll be right back on Whispers Radio.
Now it's time for Whispers, your number one source for all things paranormal, with your hosts, Jordan Klein and Nick Queen, and produced by the lovely Lola Miller. Whispers is brought to you by West Virginia Penitentiary Tours at the West Virginia State Penitentiary in Moundsville. Unforgettable, historical, educational.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Whispers Radio on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It is 7:10 p.m., about 73 degrees out here in downtown Wheeling. Give us a call, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, call us toll-free, 1-866-514-1600. I'm Jordan Klein. He's Nick Queen, working on his computer, and she is the lovely Lola Miller. It's getting fake now. I used to make you giggle for real, Lola.
Titter. Oh, my. You guys, what are you? All have diseases of the lung?
You had the black lung pop.
You were only there a week. Gosh.
Oh, well.
Oh, my.
So, Nikki.
Okay.
Yes.
Is everything up and running now?
We've been running. What are you talking about?
No, I'm just making sure everything's up to code.
It all fell apart again.
All right, remember, we got the pen trip coming up June 30th. June 30th. Everybody, mark your calendars. Get to whispersradio.com. Buy a ticket. Come with us. So much fun stuff happening.
I haven't asked you for a while how many tickets we even have left. Do I need to open up any more?
Not yet. We're still waiting for our minions to join us. Because I said, yeah, if we don't sell some more, we might have to cancel. They're like, well, I'm not going to buy a ticket until we know it's for sure. I was like, well, that's...
That defeats the purpose, folks. You'll get your money back should it get canceled.
You know?
I'm just wondering, because I only opened up a limited number.
Yeah, I know.
So
we're good.
I want to make sure.
We're still waiting for people to buy. We got Dwayne Claude's coming to give a presentation. Herb Street's coming with the TV crew. Sherry Brake, an awesome history lesson to the pen. And... she does the ghost hunts there, the teaching of the hunts. We'll be there. We got the t-shirt giveaway. We got DiCarlo's pizza going to be
fed.
We'll be
booted.
Fed.
Booted.
Grandview Parks sponsoring the presentation for the demonologist. It's going to be great.
There's nothing like being up at 3 in the morning, caffeine and pizza running your body. Chasing ghosts.
That's it, Nick. Let's just discourage everybody.
No. It's awesome.
And you get to do all that. It's only $65.
I'm being sarcastic.
For that pen, for that trip, most people, it's like hundreds. I mean, you get into like Waverly Hills Sanitarium with nothing extra. It's like $400.
Exactly.
You know, so it's definitely a deal.
Oh, we're come excited. With us. We'll have fun. Okay, well, we have our next guest on the line. You going to introduce him, Nikki?
I can do that. All right, well, Randy Rogers is the president of Telefilm, Inc., a Los Angeles-based production company. I've handled promotion for Hollywood blockbusters like The Matrix, Harry Potter, Pearl Harbor, Batman. I'm sorry. Jordan, are you okay?
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry, Randy.
Randy, they're just
Shrek
crapping
and
out
Jones.
On us here. So
his book, The
Take
Key
it
of Life, A Metaphysical Investigation. Gripping true story about who we are, why we're here, and how we're all connected. Randy, I'm sorry about that. Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
I honestly thought I'd lost my co-host.
He's all red. He's got veins throbbing in his forehead, and now he's shorted out the mute button.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Well, I'm here.
We will persevere while he recovers.
Now, sorry about that, Randy.
Hi, Jordan. You're all just disembodied voices to me, much like a lot of my friends.
That's nice.
The people I talk with. But.
Jordan was about to join the rest.
I was. I'm seeing spots everywhere floating around right now. I was choking pretty good. I took a drink of root beer, and it didn't go anywhere near the right hole.
You'd be happy to know that if you did happen to pass away while you're on the show, you really wouldn't go anywhere. You'd actually just stay right there.
I would be with Whispers forever.
Right.
That's right.
Well, you'd be with WKKX forever. We're going home after we call the proper authorities. So, Randy, okay, first and foremost, Telefilm Inc., I have to ask, I mean, so you're making pretty much, are you talking about making trailers?
Publicity? They're called press junkets. Okay. Before they release a movie, they fly all the press in from the United States and from around the world to interview the stars of the movie. And you see them on TV all the time where they sit down with Brad Pitt for five minutes and they have what their personal interview. Well, that all occurs on a weekend, usually somewhere either in New York or L.A., mostly L.A., but it's all over the place. It can be anywhere. We've been all over the world with them, and they funnel the press through, so Brad Pitt will sit there for 60 interviews in a row, you know. And actually, Brad doesn't do 60 in a row anymore. He cuts them. He manages to keep them down to about 20 or 30, but you roll through them all, and then they all go home happy that they got to sit there and talk to the star and tell them about the movie. And
then you're the one that sets all
that
up.
I'm the one that sets it. Yeah, we set up the backgrounds, the lighting, the sound, everything that goes with it, design everything, the look of it, and produce the whole thing, run it all weekend while they're coming in and out.
Wow, that's awesome.
Oh, so you've had to deal with the likes of Katie Couric and people like that.
Actually, no, Katie Couric, and when an NBC or somebody like that shows up, for the most, sometimes they set up their own room because they want to, you know, have that separateness of we're in control, so we can ask any questions we want. But occasionally they'll, you know, I've had Al Roker come into a junket and do them, and some other people, you know, the people that aren't as high up on the rung, I guess, at NBC. They'll have a producer show up there. I used to work at NBC, so I can make these jokes. My background is I was a newsman for all my life. Most of the from the time I was 10 years old, I had a camera in my hands. And when I got out of high school, I worked at a newspaper, and then the TV station hired me. And I worked in local news in Pennsylvania a couple years, 13 years in Phoenix, and then the network hired me, NBC, and that's how I ended up in LA. And then by then it was the end by through the 80s, and then by the end of the by the 90s started up. It started turning. I got out of it. And I went into the motion picture of it. So, and I've done that for the last 20 years. And now I'm moving into this whole metaphysical realm.
I was going to ask, how exactly do you move from, I can see kind of the, you know, but from, you know, the media to metaphysical pursuits?
Yeah, it's not something that I would have ever, if you asked me this, a little over 15 years ago, I would have been laughing at you. But because it wasn't in my background. I had been raised in this small town, which I happen to be in right now. But I'm back in Johnstown right now for a few days.
Wow, you're not very far from us.
No, it was an emergency thing on Sunday night. My mom got sent into the hospital, so I had to come back here. I just left the hospital, ran home to do the radio interview right now. So, but she's hanging in there. Everything's she's going to be all right, I think.
That's good.
Glad to hear that.
But anyhow, that's why I'm back here, and that's where I grew up, in this little town that was known for its flood and in 1889. And I grew
up hockey team.
Yeah. my background was I went to this grade school here, this Catholic grade school called Sacred Heart, and that's where I knew this girl from that the story starts out about. And the story starts out 15 years ago in 95. I'm out in L.A. working on these press junkets, like you say, and I just built a new home. And it's on the bluff overlooking Marina Del Rey, and I'm standing there watching that sunset the day I moved in, and I had these feelings that this friend of mine from grade school had passed away, and I couldn't get them out of my head. And it started me on a year-long search for her, and I'll really abbreviate this part of the story up, but by the time I found her a little over a year later, she had passed away from what I was working on, which was ovarian cancer video.
Oh, wow.
She had died from ovarian cancer. And I could see these synchronicities in my life starting to line up. I mean, it wasn't just that. There were dozens of them where one thing would happen in the morning, and then a couple hours later, something would come up to match it. And I started following this. The newsman in me wouldn't let go of this part of it. I could see that everybody else would say, wow, that was a coincidence. But there were too many of them, and they were too personal to me to understand that I just understood that there was something else going on. So I started investigating it and keeping a journal and writing down what happened. And what had happened was that before I found her, she had come to me in a dream, and this dream took place I was out in Palm Springs is where I was in the dream. I was in Los Angeles sleeping at the mm-hmm. time, but it woke me up. She woke me up from the dream and told me to write down these details. And then when I went to go back to bed, I had an out-of-body experience. And that's what really spurred me to call. When I got up the next day, I called my mother, and I had written down everything from the dream and the out-of-body experience. And I told my mother, look, you have to find Kathy's relatives. No one knew I was having these premonitions, and I finally told somebody.
Wow.
And then when my mother started looking for her, within a month she found her sister, who was a nun down in Pittsburgh, and she said that Kathy had passed away from ovarian cancer. And I said, Mom, I'm working on an ovarian cancer video right now, and it's no coincidence what's happening here. And so
wow.
that led me down this synchronistic path that led to a Russian acupuncturist. This story is, I don't know if any of you've read it yet, but I'm sure Sarah's sending you a book if you haven't got one.
I've got the book. I've been flipping through it, I wanted to check and make sure I got through as much as possible, so now I'm going to have to go back through and actually read it for
you. Oh, yeah, you'll be blown.
You know, it's kind of one of those things like, wait a sec, you know. Because sometimes things like that, it's almost, it's odd how they all
too much
pile
to be
upon
coincidence.
Each other. Yeah, it's kind of like an acupuncture, you know, how the heck do you get, you know. But now the acupuncture is
right.
from Russia.
Right. I'm out to dinner with some friends, and they're telling me, oh, you should meet this Russian woman that I go to, and she can put some needles in you, and you can do a regression. I'm like, what the heck's a regression? I don't even – see, I knew nothing metaphysical.
You,
I didn't even know
you
what
hit on
word.
Regression. I hit on needles.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
I didn't
know.
I didn't even know what the word metaphysical meant or any of these words I was going to learn as I went along as far as regressions, past lives, reincarnation, all that. It was not part of my vocabulary or my training or upbringing. I was raised in this Catholic family. So she's telling me to see this woman, and I'm like, I'm being polite with her at dinner. Oh, yeah, maybe I'll call you on that. And I leave, you know, and I go off to New York with, in fact, her boyfriend's with me, this girl that we were at dinner with. And these series of synchronistic events start to occur. And they're pointing back in the direction to go and see Lucy. So when I get back from New York on Monday, I go to call this woman. But before I can, she calls me up, starts telling me these other synchronistic things that had happened, where I had given her boyfriend a book on the plane to read. And when she went into the acupuncturist's office over the weekend, she said, oh, you've got to read this certain book. Well, here she comes home, and her boyfriend had just read it on the plane that I had given it. So she saw the synchronicity and is calling me, and I said, oh, no, I already know. I'm heading in to see her. And when I get in Lucy's office, that's when it really started to unfold. And I told Lucy I'm working on a cancer video, and that's all I said. And she starts, oh, my mom's got cancer really bad, and she's in this great program at UCLA, and they only pick 60 women for this program. I'm going, well, Lucy, that's the program I'm shooting the video on. It was, and I knew it was at that point. I'm in a city of 14 million people surrounding me, and people would go, wow, what a coincidence. You're
wow.
in this woman's. But I knew everything had not been, it couldn't be a coincidence. So
wow.
I let her stick the needles in me, and that's where the story takes off. I start describing who I am, even who Lucy was, who all my friends were, and how we had been in these different lives together. And
wow.
not just telling the story, but then coming back into my current life and showing how it was related to what was happening today.
Where is this woman at?
She's out in Los Angeles. I know that's the first thing everyone wants to do is meet Lucy.
Awesome.
But I'm here to tell you, you don't have – I mean, Lucy's great. But I mean, put some needles in you and you go into this. But you can do this also with hypnotherapy. And, in fact, I was so fascinated by all that I had gone through in the 15 years that I – studied this and wrote this story, and that a few months ago I went and sought out the best hypnotherapist there is out there, Dick Sutphin,
mm-hmm.
and I got trained by him. So I wanted to learn how to be able to do this because everyone wants to experience one of these regressions. And so
you are a hypnotherapist.
So now I'm a hypnotherapist.
How long are you going to be in Johnstown?
Well, I'm going to be coming back and going down the East Coast. I'm going to be down in Virginia at the ARE. Thing doing a lecture. I'm doing some workshops down there, so I will be down in your area. So
see, well,
we're
actually pretty close to Pittsburgh.
Oh, really?
We're in West Virginia.
Oh, well, you know, I'm going to be around here. I'm going to be in and out of here a lot this summer and in the next. Well, I'm just going to be down in and here a lot, so we'll stay in touch and we'll connect up somewhere because I'm going to try to do a book talk or a signing down in Pittsburgh or a lecture. I mean, a workshop.
Oh, wow.
And we'll get something set up, and then you guys can come
I am
over
so interested in this.
Have you ever done one?
No, and that's I met somebody through the show, I don't know, about a month ago, but I haven't been able to. She needs, like, the time I was born and all these other things, and I've got to go through my mom's stuff and
oh, is she doing an astrological chart on
you then? I don't know what all she's going to do. She's out of Seattle or somewhere out there. But I would really...
So she's got to get on Skype to do
it.
And,
yeah, and I would rather, and I've always heard that hypnosis is the way to go.
Well, they're both, you know what? Acupuncture and hypnosis are really the same thing. They both do the same thing to you. Acupuncture puts the needles in and opens up the chi points, so the chi is flowing, rather. It opens up those meridians and lets you get to this level. And hypnosis is the same thing. Hypnosis isn't something I do to you. It's something you do to yourself. I just help you get to that level by doing it. It's you get them into a relaxed state, and then you count them down, and you take them down deeper and deeper and deeper. And the same thing happens under acupuncture. So you get relaxed. She puts needles in you, and she's telling you you're going to, you know, and you just get to this relaxation. It's all about your breathing, focusing on your breathing, and it's very simple to do. And it's amazing the stories that will come out of you when you start to do it. And the funny thing is you will think you made it up. I mean, that's what I would say every time. Oh, my God, I had to make this up. And then, wham, you come home and these things, these other bits of synchronicity start hitting you in the face. That's what is startling about it. I had a guy come in the other day into my stage, and I have the sound stage out in Los Angeles. So since I learned how to do this, I set up a chair down there, and I rigged it up with a microphone and the camp so I can tape the whole thing too.
Yeah.
I always thought this is fascinating, and these people may want this tape later. And so we recorded this, and he was he's kind of a celebrity out there, and Mark DiCarlo, and he's on a lot of TV shows out in L.A. And he comes in and sits down and does this thing, and he bops around through a couple different lights, but he couldn't stay focused in one. He's one of these guys, the minute he got into the lights, he started to try to analyze it and fell out of it and started talking about another one. When we came out of it, he's going, oh, no, I had to make that up. And he goes to leave, and he looks at his watch, and he goes, it's 8 o'clock. It's 8. Wait a minute. How long was I under? I said, an hour. He said, no, I was only gone 5 minutes. He goes, 10, maybe tops, 10. I said, no. I said, you were gone for an hour. And I said, what did I tell you at the beginning of it? I said, when I put you under, you're going to step outside the timeline. So time is going to stop for you. And it stopped. You know, the minute you go to this other side, when you go into a regression session, you're literally stepping off of the timeline that we're on right now.
Now, could you come and regress us live on the radio?
Oh, yeah, I could do that. We could do a session on the radio. But the problem with doing it on the radio is the prep time to get you under takes about a half an hour, and the other danger of that is if I start running that on the radio and somebody's driving in their car and listening to it, we could have accidents. Get you under.
Now that would be a show.
We could get you under and then go from that point. You know?
Whispers Radio and Randy Rogers.
Oh, they warn you big time.
Drops an entire city, you know.
Well, they warn you. They give you these DVDs. They have DVDs out there. Dick Sutphin's made them up, and it's a generic regression where you just go in and you go exploring on your own. He's into, you know, or helping you in any way by asking you questions once you get in. So when you're doing a one-on-one, like if I'm doing one with you, I'd be able to say when you said you were somewhere, I'd be able to ask more detailed questions. But when you're on a DVD or a CD playing it, all you can do is just go to the thing and examine it yourself.
Hmm.
But it's a great thing to do.
I wonder if we could, like, record it and then chop it all into pieces and put it on.
That's what we would do. I would come in, do it with you guys, record it. Then you can take out the chunks you want to play on the air, and that's way more interesting. You're not going to get into
it. Yeah, I don't want all my dirty secrets
being told.
The
FCC does listen.
I'll tell you, the strangest things come out, too, out of the session. And you won't believe it until you come home and you start to realize how your relationship to your wives or girlfriends or mother, father, anybody, brothers, sisters, any kind of things, you start to see who they were and who they played before and who you played before in this life, in these other lives.
God, I so want to do this. I've been so wanting to do this for a while.
She is lit up like a Christmas tree.
I know.
It's an incredible experience to do. I don't know if you've read that book, Many Lives, Many Masters by Brian Weiss, Dr. Brian Weiss, and that's a great book out there to read too that has the whole thing. He talks about it from a doctor's point of view, where he was a psychologist and he was taking a person back in their current life. He had hypnotized them, and that's when he first found out you could do this. He started taking them back, and they jumped back and started describing something from the 1800s. And he's trying to figure out, what is this, you know, what's going on? And the woman, you know, describes a life where she drowns, and all of a sudden her fear of being in the water disappears. She had all these phobias, and every time he took her and started these regressions, but he still couldn't believe it. She kept telling these strange stories about different lives, but every time she got better. But then finally she jumped into a session where she was there with his son and started describing his son who had passed away right after he was born. And that's what convinced him that she was there with some with another spirit actually talking with him.
See, I've always, when I dream, I always dream about water. And I know there have been some dream things that say it's because I'm a woman and all this other stuff. But everything has to do with either living by water, living on a boat. And consequently, I grew up living close to the water, always had boats, had jobs on yachts, that kind of thing. And then I was getting my chakras aligned. And while she was meditating over me, she said she had this flash of my coming down a huge circular staircase in like 20s, 30s kind of clothes.
Right.
And all my life, everybody is always, my dad used to joke that I had champagne tastes on a beer budget.
Right.
And so it's all these little things that, you know, keep pointing me backwards.
Well, you're dragging them over from your past life. Everything. 95%. Some people say 100, but Dick Sutton says 95% of people, problems they have in this life or anything that they drag is something they brought over from a past life. And it all goes back to this word karma. It's all karmic. I have great stories to share with you about people that have had these things that happened in their current life that they couldn't understand why they've done it or why these things happen. And it happened because they came in here and played the role they were supposed to play. Yet they didn't understand why they had done it. I had a person come into my stage the other week that we were doing a shoot. I was friends with this guy and his wife, and they have a, you know, a relationship that people would say is off the wall if I told you what happened in their relationship. But I had run into her upstairs when I was finished with the shoot, and she starts to tell me about how she read the book in 6 hours, and she was really happy to read it, and it meant so much to her, and she started to get teary-eyed about it. And she said, Randy, I just want to know if I could talk to you about that. I want to try to understand why I do the things I do. And I knew what she was talking about, and I'm not going to mention any names in this because it's pretty blown out there and there are celebrities involved in that. But she went off and had an affair on her husband and got pregnant, had the baby. They gave the baby up for adoption, and the baby ended up with this pretty well-known couple, and they end up staying together. Now, everyone out there was just wanting to pass judgment on these two people, but I've just kept saying, you don't know what's going on. You can't judge us. You don't know what is going on in the past. Well, when she read my book, she realized something like that had happened, but she didn't know what. And I told her, I said, you know, first of all, I said, you, your husband, your daughter you have together, the guy you had the affair with, the people that ended up with the baby, and the baby you had, all of you came into this life to play that role out. You created this drama, and you played it out. And I said, what you did was a selfless act. I said, you had a baby and gave it up to a couple that couldn't have a baby. I said, and that's selfless. I said, there's karma involved there, and you were either paying it forward, paying it back for something they had done in another life. But believe me, every one of you did this together. And I said, and it's locked in by the fact that your husband stayed with you. Why do you think he stayed with you? Because he loves you, and he knows that this was part of the deal that he came into play too. And she started bawling, you know, crying. And I said, well, she said something. I knew something like this happened. She said, Randy, I was at the house of the couple that they gave the baby to. Now, they had become friends with this couple, but they did not know them before this event happened. They were picked randomly from a group of people that were presented to them by an adoption attorney with no names involved. So now listen to this story, and this will lock it in for you. She's at the couple's house, the couple for dinner one night after the baby's born, and the woman brings out her wedding album to show this girl that had the baby what their wedding day was like. It was a beautiful, fantastic affair down in Cancun, all, you know, the top as if you could get in a wedding. And this girl says, how did you get all this stuff down there? And she said, oh, we used, you know, XYZ shipping company. Well, that's where this girl works, XYZ shipping company. And she says, you use my shipping company I work at. Well, who handled the shipment for you?
She did.
No.
Oh.
The guy she had the affair with.
Oh.
And she immediately was shocked. And I said, do you really think that was an accident? I told her, right, when I said, do you see how that was worked out? I said, everybody would say, wow, what a coincidence. You had an affair with the guy who handled the shipping company for the people who end up with your baby. I said, that's because you all know each other. It was set. It was laid there as a marker for you to feel good about where that baby is right now. I said, because the baby's exactly where it should be with the parents. And here's what will really lock it in for you. The dad, the guy she had the affair with, was Asian. She was a white woman. The mother that got the baby is Asian, and her husband's a white guy. That baby looks like it belongs with that family. I mean, everything is perfect in it. Wow. And her husband was there at the birth taking pictures. I gave it to him. I mean, he is completely at ease with this whole thing. And it was because they came in here and played the roles. I said, she kept saying, why did I do it? I said, because you didn't have an option. I said, you had the script embedded in you. And every one of you out there listening right now, including you guys, we all have scripts embedded in us to play this role that we're in here to play in our life. We created the story of our life, and we are jumped into the role to play it. You're not really Lola Miller or Jordan Klein or Nick Queen. Your spirit's playing these roles, and you will play another role in another life. And you have played dozens and dozens, infinite numbers of other lives.
Wow.
Oh, I so want to know what they were.
Oh, you'll know. But, you know what? When I come back, I'm going to have to go through that area. When I'm done with the tour, I'll come through there and we'll do something.
Oh, great. Oh, God, I'm so looking forward to it.
So we'll work it out.
Okay.
I'll talk to my publicist and we'll come by. That'll be fun to do one, and then you guys can we'll record it and you can put it up on the show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You'll be shocked. It won't be anything. That's the other thing is when you read the book, I had no idea where I was going on these regressions. And when I came in, I'd come out with these stories and I'd think, where in the heck did that come from? And then as you read the book, you'll see how it laid into my current life. Every one of these stories.
Wow. But take it. Now, we're all nice people,
yeah.
But what about these people that go out and do murders and things like that?
That's a good question, because I say to everyone out there, and this is the truth, you shouldn't judge anyone, and that goes from Osama bin Laden to Mother Teresa and anywhere in between. Every one of these characters we created, and we created them to be part of this play. You're all the main star. By the way, everyone out there is the main star of this play. The entire world, each individual person has a starring role in their own movie. Yet we are all supporting actors in it too. Whenever I interact with you or Nick and Jordan interact with you, Lola, that's all supporting roles to you. And we all support each other. And you see that happen when Haiti happened, how we all jumped into the supporting role to help the victims over there.
Mm.
People come into this life to play victims, and there is no suffering. Look at cerebral palsy people. I have friends that have that. And look at the spirit inside them. Every time you meet someone that has cerebral palsy, MS, Down syndrome, any of those things, they are the strongest spirits you could ever imagine. You always look at these people, how can they be so cheerful? They are a spirit that came in to take this role to gain huge spiritual growth out of it. And that's what we're gaining out of. That's what you, Nick, Jordan, and Lola are getting out of playing your roles. Your spirit, the inner part of you that's playing the role, the real spirit of you, that's what's growing. Not Nick and Jordan. They're just characters. And other spirits will come in. Your character is set on this timeline. Other spirits will come in to play this role of you. As amazing as – and I have a great story I can tell you about that. That you'll really love, and it has to do with celebrities in Hollywood, and it occurred back in December of this year.
Well, geez Louise, let's hear it.
Yeah.
Well, December 23rd, I'm supposed to be doing a book signing out in Venice, California, at this Mystic Journey bookstore. And right before it happened, a major event happened in my life. And there's always these synchronistic signs, like I've talked about, these that show that I'm on the right path. Well, nothing happened that day. And I'm driving to this thing thinking, what the heck's going on? Am I on the right path? Nothing. There's always a sign, and it didn't happen. Well, I run into the thing, set up, and like three people show up for this signing. And one of them is one of the guys that works in the store, and he leaves for a few minutes, and all of a sudden he comes back with another guy. And he says, Randy, there's one more guy. He was leaving. I grabbed him outside and brought him in. I thought he should hear your thing. And he said, Randy, let me introduce him to you. And he goes, Randy, this is George Lazenby. Well, I about fall over. And if you don't know who George Lazenby is. I'm going to explain it in a second here, so hang on.
I know exactly who
So I said, wow, I'm shaking. I'm shaking his hand. I'm going, oh, my God, I have all the signs to show up. I said, George, I'm looking at my watch. I said, you know, 40 years ago, tonight, 40 years ago in 1969 on December 23rd, I was a 16-year-old kid on a ladder in a snowstorm in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, changing the marquee on the State Theater to read, On Her Majesty's Secret Service, George Lazenby is James Bond. I said, that's what I was putting up that night. And I said, and I've carried that story with me for 40 years about how I've seen your movie over 100 times, hundreds of times. And I said, I always felt this was the best James Bond movie ever because of the script, the storyline, and I just loved everything about it. I said, but you showing up here tonight, I was looking for a sign. I was asking where it was. And this, I said, I couldn't have asked for anything more than what happened right now. And I said, to share this with everyone here, I said, because this movie was important to me because this is the most romantic James Bond there ever was.
Yeah.
I said, he got married in this movie. James Bond married Diana Riggs in this movie. It was so romantic. I always felt that's the way I wanted it to be with me someday. Well, less than an hour ago, I bought an engagement ring for my girlfriend. I said, and I was looking for this sign, and I show up, and James Bond shows up here. And he starts laughing. So I said, and I'm glad you're here. I said, because I can use you for an example. So people people want to know, how can we play multiple roles? Because when we say, I regressed and I was, Cleopatra, and five other people say they were Cleopatra too, or, Abraham Lincoln or whatever, how can all these people say they played the same role?
See, and that's something that I've always wondered about.
Well, this is the perfect guy. I said to George, I said, you're the perfect guy to explain this. I said, when I say the word James Bond, that character, what comes to mind to you, Jordan and Nick?
Connery.
Not who played him. What about the character James Bond? Who is he?
He's a woman's ladies' man.
Yeah. British Secret Service. Has a license to kill. He's surrounded by beautiful women on all these great adventures trying to save the world.
Yeah.
That's the iconic figure.
And you
got to
have
Bond.
The accent there.
That is him. Yeah, there's no – if I say James Bond, that everybody knows what they're going to see.
Yeah.
So yet how many people have played James Bond? Oh, Sean Connery, Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, Daniel Craig playing him. And I said, George, you've played him. I said, but if I asked you, George, I said – if I'm going to ask you, George. I said, are you James Bond? And he said, no, I'm not James Bond. I played him once. And I said, well, I'm not Randy Rogers. I played him once. And you're not Lola Miller. You played her once. You're not Jordan Klein. You played him once. And you're not Nick Queen. You played him once. That's who we are. And we put that energy, same energy George Lazenby put into playing James Bond, you're putting into playing Nick and Jordan and Lola.
Uh-huh.
And when you, believe me, you have played these other lives. When you do a regression session, you will see how many different roles you've played.
But see, now, the one contention I have, I guess, there is, you know, let's, if, you know, you, you know, this is going to be kind of out there, but, you know, if you think, you know, say that in your past life you were, you know, Abraham Lincoln, and Jordan in his past life was Abraham Lincoln, wouldn't they have been there only once?
But I just explain how we can both play him. Sean Connery's played James Bond 5 times, and so did him. Yet James Bond is still James Bond, and that's because Abraham Lincoln is still Abraham Lincoln.
Now,
they're on the timeline.
Okay.
Remember, you're on the timeline. You're thinking linearly. You're thinking because you're living in this moment right now, and everything is past and past, and nothing has happened in the future. You're thinking that's the only thing that's out there. Step outside the timeline, and the way to do that is imagine, you know how you have your computer, and you sit there and you see a movie playing in your computer, and you download it, and you see that little cursor moving where you are. But say the whole movie's in there, you want to drag the cursor back and look at the beginning, or you want to jump to the end and you can look at it. That's your option of that movie. Yet the movie's in there playing. That's we're on the timeline. When you die, when you go to sleep at night, you're stepping out, and when you go into one of these regressions, you're doing what I call stepping outside the timeline. And when the minute you do, you can see everything not only backwards but forwards. You can see everything that's going to happen because, in effect, everything that's going to happen has already happened. It's a hard – I know it's a tough concept to wrap your mind around.
I'm trying, but you know why?
Because you're on the timeline right now.
Okay, so real quick, just because my brain's starting to get numb and I want to shake it out. Now, are you are you saying that, like, okay, Abraham Lincoln is there, and Abraham Lincoln is Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
But other people, like,
are
we
playing it right now.
We would.
Yeah. He's not really. Abraham Lincoln only died on our timeline because that's in the past. When you're outside of it, and, I mean, it's the character. The thing is, the event is still going on. Every event is still going on right now. Even your birth and everything else. Some other spirit is experiencing.
Kind of like a black hole type of
it's,
wormhole
thing.
It's
a multiple universe thing is what is going on.
Okay.
You know, and when you get down to the crossroads, you're going to make a left or right. You're really, you know, you have it embedded in you, really, how what way you're going to go. It seems like a big decision, but ingrained in you is that way to go. And if perchance you don't go down the right road, have you ever done that in your life? Done something?
Amen, brother.
Right where your gut was saying, don't do this. And the minute you did, it knocked you right out.
Yeah, you should have asked me last week.
Yeah, if you only knew.
Yeah. Well, all right. We had a phone call. I don't know if you watch Lost. We're all big Losties here.
Everyone wants me to, and I've got the first season on DVD, and I haven't had the chance to start it up.
Oh, my gosh.
All my friends say you have to see this show, but I'm sure it wraps around what I'm talking about.
Yes, it does. And that's what the phone call was about, was that right now they – all through the first five seasons, they did flash forwards and flashbacks.
Right.
Then in season five, they were time jumping.
Right.
And now it's instead of forward or back, it's a sideways, and it's like a parallel universe.
Right.
So that, oh my God, this is weird. I think we just answered
that happened in a regression the other day, a parallel universe. Which just shocked me because we were trained about that this could happen. And then I had it happen in a session the other day. And I was sitting there going, oh, my God. This woman starts describing a life, the same life she's in now, except these events didn't happen. It was on another parallel universe. And she starts describing these events that occurred in it in complete detail. I mean, it was shocking to hear what she was saying about what happened in this other life.
Well, see, Fringe, they've got a subplot to Fringe about a parallel universe and breaking through the fabric. And how if you're going to do that, you have to replace. You can't take something out of one and bring it across. You have to replace it because you have to keep that balance between the universes. But, oh, my God, I think we just maybe got a clue to the ending of Lost from
Mom. Well, you know, I'm sure everyone out there would like to know what that is.
How many times have you hung out with J.J. Abrams there?
I've met a lot of the stars and the producers and directors of these films, and I'll tell you, the one that's out there right now that's resonating with everyone is Avatar, and I'm not sure you guys have seen that movie, but the reason it sold $2 billion worth of tickets and continues to climb is because the underlying message in it is about how we're all connected, how you and I and all these – everyone is connected. And I did not want to go see the movie. And a friend of mine who had worked on The River Runs Through It, he was the fly fishing guy on it. He was the Brad Pitt. When you saw Brad Pitt fly fishing, actually that was him from a distance.
Oh.
And he was the coordinator. He's the guy who got swept downstream. That was my friend John.
Oh.
So he drags me to this film, and I'm sitting in it, and I just become – I'm watching this, and I'm shocked. And at the end of it, John leans over, and he says, isn't it amazing how much of your book's in this movie? And I said – do you think it's a coincidence that James Cameron was writing this at the same time I was writing my book, and they both come out now? I said, that's because what's resonating right now and leading up to 2012 is this whole connection. I said, 2012 isn't going to be the end of the world. It's going to be a beginning of a new one. And I said, it's going to be a raised consciousness level. And that's where we're heading right now. Everyone is feeling it. That's why everything's changing. That's why the whole world and everything seems to be going to hell. It's not really, it's something we designed because we had to level it down to bring it back and up at a new level now. So we're taking it all down to zero, not zero, but down to where it's a level playing field, and then we're going to bring it up the way it should be. That's what's coming up next.
Wow.
I mean, I've looked forward. I've gone, and I told you, you can go forward. I've jumped 5 years into the future with Dick regressing us, and I went year by year looking at what was coming down, and it's great stuff. It's dramatic. It's going to rival the Civil War and everything else that you dramatic periods that our country's gone through. But in the end, it's going to be a really beautiful place.
Wow.
Wow.
It's fun. It's fun thing to go out and be able to explore that area of you.
Oh, I can't wait to meet you, Randy. Honestly, this is
we're gonna have fun because it's very relaxing to do this too. It's because people come out of it and they feel like they've had a little nap and
Yeah.
But yet they remember everything. You come back with full knowledge of this. See, you go there every night. But the problem is when you wake up, there's this blinders, I call it a veil that's pulled over you. And it's so that you'll stay in character. So you'll stay in your character. Because if you came into this life knowing all your past lives, you would not be able to function in your role. You have to have all that erased. That's why you don't remember your past lives in your waking state right now.
So our dreams are kind of like our past lives?
Right.
I got to ask you this, Randy. I had a dream one time that I was like British Secret Service type military type deal, you know, with a little beanie hat on that you'd, you know, James Bond style.
Right.
But I had to kill somebody with a pair of safety scissors.
That's
another problem entirely.
I want to talk with you about that because I have those kind of dreams too, where you get into some kind of a scuffle or something with somebody and your gun won't shoot or it just doesn't, you know, all these things don't function like it would in a real world.
Uh-huh.
So you're left to the other devices to try to stop what's happening. And
no, I mean, I did what I needed to do.
You did. It must have been really
It was very difficult.
Safety scissors.
Those little plastic ones, you know?
That's because his mama never let him have real ones.
I've never been allowed to play with real scissors, Randy.
Well, you can see why. You know.
This entire show has been from the beginning of the show, almost 2 hours ago to now, it's been nothing but bashing Jordan, and I'm loving it.
Yeah. It's just too easy sometimes. Yeah, that's all.
It is.
Well, it was a genuine concern.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I was.
Well, could it be too, now, like you were saying, that your gun wouldn't fire or, you know, something happened. Could it be that mentally, because this did happen at some point in your timeline, that you can't face it? You're not ready to emotionally face it?
Well, yeah, I went into a regression where Dick used me as a subject when we were training. And I went into this thing, and at the end of it, it got so emotional because he started asking me why I was living by myself and that. And this thing took place during the Civil War. And I had this fascination with it. I didn't understand why. And he takes me into this regression, and I come out with this story telling him all this. And then when I'm done, when I get done, he starts asking me why I was living by myself, and it just broke down crying about how many men I had lost and when we got in this battle and when I got my finger blown off and all these horses and men killed around me and captured and just all the devastation. And I said it was for nothing and we should, you know, and it was so heart-wrenching. So when you go into these dreams at night, you're picking up pieces of all kinds of lives you had. And that's why the dreams seem jumbled. When you come back into your waking state, you're remembering a piece of this and that and not the complete story together. So the safety scissors, that's something maybe your conscious mind put in to stop you from doing that. You didn't really want to kill this guy, so you were going to, now I'm going to use safety scissors, you know. And
yeah.
Who knows? I mean, there's all kinds of things at play here.
Wow.
Now, you said something about blinders, that it puts up blinders so that you stay in character.
Right.
Does that?
Well, that's what I don't know exactly what it is, but it's something that doesn't allow us access to our subconscious, free access to it. I mean, because all the answers really are within you, all your past lives. When I hypnotize you and take you down, it's got you to the relaxed state, and now you've opened up that book of all these stories of your life. And you can go in and start to bring a few of them out. But the minute you come back into the waking state, your conscious mind shuts it off because you have to play the role here. And if you came into this life and you knew every life you had and all these loves you had, you would be not doing nothing but worrying about what happened to this person and where that is. You have to stay in character. And all actors like that, when they get ready to go out on the stage and play, the last thing they want is somebody talking to them or about anything else because they are focused in to go out and play this role.
Yeah.
And they get real upset. I mean, you've seen Christian Bale unleash on a DP. I mean, they were playing that when he was doing
Terminator
went complete because he was in character and he got out of it because somebody was messing with a light. You know, I mean, it was, you know, innocent, but he just completely lost it because he was so immersed in the character. And that happens when you can't let go of it. I mean,
yeah. yeah.
issues
to deal with there, but it's just a play, you know, and that's what you got to take your life as here. You got to realize this. That's when you can look in the mirror in the morning and look past Nick and Jordan and Lola, when you look past it and say, I see that spirit of who I am. Then when you get in these drama situations in your life, which will occur every day, you'll be able to step outside and let the drama unfold and not get caught up in it. And that's the raising of your spirituality, of your consciousness. That's what we're trying to gain. And when you can do that, you'll see your life change dramatically.
Oh, I wish I'd had this conversation and gotten the book last week, because I had a miserable weekend and I could have really used that, being able to step outside of myself and just let it go.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you, I was coming into Chicago to do pre-publicity in October, and my publicist, who's wound tighter than a drum, not my publicist, my publisher, I better say this right because I'm sure Sarah's listening, but my publisher, we were going to a WGN interview, and right before I get there, Sarah, my publicist, calls and says, oh, the interview's canceled. And I said, oh, that's fine. And we were walking through a mall at the time going across to WGN in Chicago. And I said, that's okay. Well, they'll reschedule, whatever. Well, I mean, Jenny comes unglued. So I got to talk to her. She's pacing around, grabs the phone and running back and forth, talking and yelling. And I'm standing there with the other publisher, and I pointed to her and I said, you know, I said, what was Jenny talking about all morning? And I pointed up above her head, and there was a picture of Chicago, a big mural with a big dome over the top of it. And just a few hours earlier at breakfast, I had been teasing Jenny about moving back to Chicago because she was from there. I said, don't you want to move back here? And she said, I'm never moving back here unless they put a dome over the city, one of those futuristic domes, you know.
Yeah.
And if they put one of those over the city, then I'll move back here. And then she talked about this dome all the time. And then a couple hours later, when a major change came in our life, instead of looking for the sign, which I say is always there, she came unglued. And as soon as she got off the phone, I brought her over and I turned her around slowly and I said, look up there, Jenny. What were you talking about all morning? I said, you see that? I said, that's what my life is like every day. That's what I see in my life. Whenever there's a change, I look and there's always a sign showing you, that's okay, let it go. We're moving you this direction now, and you're following the path. And I've led my life like that. Wow. I just jumped in this stream and went with it. Don't fight it. If the door doesn't open, go to the next door. Don't beat your head against it trying to get something that isn't for you to get.
Now, we got a question in the chat room from New York Lily. It says, what if the role you're playing now is the same one you played in a past life? How do you move out of that role?
Well, you know, that's very well. You could do that. If you don't like the way you played this life and you can come back in it, well, then you're going to get out of it by understanding this karma that I talked about at the beginning. And karma means action. And everything you do in this life is based on action. It's your intention and what you're doing in every relationship, everything you do. And when you do it from a point of grace, the other thing they say is grace supersedes karma. And wisdom erases karma, and grace supersedes it. So having the knowledge of what's going on and understanding this and then doing everything from a point of grace, from a point of love, and all your intentions are put in that way. You don't go out and do things to just get back at somebody, although everybody in your life wants to do this. Well, this person did this to me, and I'm going to treat them that way. You're better off letting go of it and understanding it, because you just erased all the karma and you won't have to come back and redo it. You won't have to come back to another. The whole point of karma is stilling the pond. Karma is like throwing a pebble in a still lake and these ripples start back and forth. That's the same thing when you jump into these life. These karmic ripples that you created are rolling back and forth. And your job here is to still that karmic pond and get your life to where it's everything is just smoothed out.
Wow. Randy, I hate to break this up.
I don't want this to end. Yeah. But
we do have to go at the end of the show.
Well, I had a great time, and I'm definitely going to be looking. We'll talk. Are you guys on Facebook?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Hook up with me on there, and we'll get together.
Okay. Yeah, we got to schedule something to get together and do this. I think it'd be a neat show.
I can't wait.
Yeah, my book is on thekeyoflife.net.
Or
on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, you can get it. But if you order it through my site, I can sign it for you, anybody out there. And or Facebook, get on there and find Randy Rogers or The Key of Life under Facebook. You can find me.
We also have the book linked up to our website, whispersradio.com. A big picture of it. You can just click on that and buy it directly from there.
All right.
Randy, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah,
thank you.
This has been wonderful.
Nick. This is the start of a beautiful friendship.
All right. Well, we're going to have fun this summer. We'll be doing regressions.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Randy.
Thanks, Randy.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, my gosh. This is like
You're like a kid in a candy store.
I am. I would drive to Johnstown tonight.
If only I could make you that happy, Lola. Jeez.
Just try, Jordan. Just try.
If he has cowboy boots, it's over.
Now, that's an interesting thing, Cease. I've had this brought up about. But there's just, you know, the more he talked, the more there have been things in my life, little signs.
Yeah.
That's why the older I get, the more interested I get in this regression thing, because
it's definitely interesting.
The only thing, and I'll say this again, is that I'm afraid I'm going to find out I was fabulously wealthy in another life, and now I'm poor.
You wanted to give it all away for a poor man's life.
Oh, no.
See, I'm afraid. You ever watch the movie Stir of Echoes? The guy gets hypnotized and then, like, opens up this whole world and he sees dead people walking around and...
Oh, yeah.
With Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen.
That's not going to happen.
I know, right?
I'll go first.
Next week. Is next week the Mentalist?
Next week, yes.
Craig Cargis is going to be with.
Give me one second. I will check and make sure.
But I'm we don't have a second.
Well, you said the 11th, and that will be next Tuesday.
I know.
Okay, next week we have a Mentalist coming to the studio.
Well, and he's from here, Craig Cargis.
Craig Cargis and Dave Diosi, his partner, will both be in the studio here. So.
Yes. Oh, I'm telling you, he has done things with me in the studio. No, not like that.
No.
But these mental I don't know how he does it. And when he does it for you, you will be thoroughly and completely amazed.
It's going to be awesome.
He can read numbers off of dollar bills with all these blindfolds and stuff on, and he doesn't, you know, you can't feel the raised numbers on the dollar, and he'll give them to you as they are. It is astounding. And then, like, I drew this picture and stuck it in an envelope and kept it with me. And then he drew the picture I drew.
From across the studio.
Yes. I'm telling you, this guy is. And yet he will not say that he has ESP. It's amazing. He's amazing.
But he does have ESPN.
Well,
it's going to be an awesome show.
Yes.
Catch us next week. Until then, don't be afraid. Only believe.